Any suggestions in regards to bulk purchasing, bulk
Yeah.
buying?
So, I mean, look, I don't personally shop at Costco because we don't go through things as much and as quickly as I would think. And so if you are going to go to Costco, it's a mentality of you are going to go to Costco, but you have to look at it and say, how often are we actually going through that item? You know, if it's toilet paper versus strawberries and you're not throwing away the strawberries, okay, great. And you're having all this toilet paper that you actually go through because there's five or six people in the house. Look at the items you're actually going and purchasing at Costco, and then look at how quickly you are using those things up. I would hate for people to throw away the huge strawberries because they don't actually, they go bad too quickly because you're buying so many of them and you don't go through them. So if you are going to buy in bulk, really be conscious about number one, the space that you have, and obviously how quickly you are going through those items.
Well, Rachel, thank you for joining me again on the Minimalist Moms podcast.
I am so excited to be back.
I'm glad to have you back. I always come back to you because I think you're a wealth of information. And today you're going to help us as we declutter the pantry slash kitchen, that space. So why don't you go ahead and reintroduce yourself and then we'll get started.
Okay, great. So I'm Rachel Rosenthal. I'm an organizing expert. I've been in business for about 15 years now, so a while. I own a professional organizing firm. We're based in the Washington, D.C. area. I work everywhere, though. We do travel and just work with brands as well and give a lot of speeches, but just talk about organization and how there are so many benefits to your home, your family life. And I feel like it is a way of life that everyone should be leading.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure that you mentioned this back on that first episode, but were you someone that was always into organization and cared about decluttering your home, or was this something that you kind of stumbled upon?
Great question. So I was in law school. I've always been type A. And so I would say I always have these tendencies, but I didn't know what organization was back then many years ago. And so when I started, I didn't really understand the concept necessarily. I just knew that this is how I lived and I did it for myself. And then once it exploded, kind of, this is how you declutter this, then it came to be, I'm like, oh, well, actually, that's what I'm doing every day, every day. So I kind of just morphed from there. I've always been like this.
Yeah. What do your husband and your kids think about this?
You know, it's a way of life for all of us now because they have obviously lived with me all of their life. And so they see the benefits and then they like go over to other people's homes. I'm talking about my children who are 16 identical twin girls. And they'll go over and they'll say, oh, you know, I feel like it's not functioning as well at my friend's house. Or, you know, when people come over to our house, they'll see how our pantry is organized and they can get the snacks and it's easy and we don't need you know, to be there. So I think they see the benefits. It's not, again, it's a way of life for us now. So they might say something different, but I think that's what they're saying right now.
I'm glad you used that pantry example because that's a good segue into our conversation. I think for so many people, we are mostly in our kitchen. I mean, at least for me, I feel like the majority of my life is spent in our home is in the kitchen. We just kind of like to congregate there. You're cooking. I will work from the counter. So it's a space that needs to be efficient and functional for everyone involved. And I think for kids, sometimes they can come in, especially if they're little, and mess it all up. So I want to get your tips on that question in general. But let's get a starting point here. What does it look like if I'm standing in my kitchen and I want to start decluttering? What do I do?
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to scare people when I say you have to pull everything out. But I think that is the best starting point and the only starting point because at that point, you can actually see what you have. There are a lot of times, and I'm in agreement with you, I think the kitchen is actually the most important room in your home to be getting it organized and functional because you are in it so much, you know, snack every day, you congregate there, do homework at the kitchen table, whatever it is. And so being able to declutter first, take everything out. There's things in the pantry that are, you know, not visible to you, to the naked eye, or there's underneath in a, you know, bin that got stuck in the back of that lazy Susan. Everything needs to come out. And when you take everything out, I want people to categorize it by type. So that might be dinner items, baking items, snack items. And you'll see actually how much you have. And then you're going to look at expiration dates because a lot of these things will have expiration dates. And I think people are usually surprised
to see how long that they've held on to things. But boots do have expiration dates, even canned goods. And so we've pulled things out of, you know, people's pantries that are 15 years old. And they're like, oh, but can I still use it? And all of that. So take everything out and categorize it. And then you're going to get a bigger picture on what things need to go, whether they're past their expiration date, what things you actually use, right? So you might have been as a family on a spaghetti kick for 7 months, but you haven't used it in a year. And so that could be donated, you know, to a food pantry. So really look at the stuff that you have, categorize it, and make some choices on what actually should stay and what actually should go. So in communal spaces, my belief is that I think I used to just create systems that would work best for me. But in those communal spaces, especially if we have multiple kids in our home, we need to have systems that work for everyone. So What have you noticed? I guess your girls are 16, so they might be a little bit more helpful. But what are some of your recommendations for people with young kids? How are we going to actually go through and organize?
So I would think for young kids, I always set parents' expectations, because you are not, and there is a difference between being neat and being organized. So in your home, you know, with little kids especially, it's not always going to be neat. Things aren't always going to be lined up in order. All the snack bars aren't going to be piled perfectly. That's just unrealistic. I also consider that neat. However, it can be organized. So if the, you know, bars are out for your kids, they can all be in one bin. It might look messy, but they're organized in one bin. And so when you're talking about organizing with little kids or kids, I mean, even at 16, again, we're in a different spot than a four-year-old, but I really recommend putting things at their level, okay? So if you want your kids to be more helpful in the kitchen or learning these tasks of setting the table, for example, maybe put the plastic cups down low or their plates and silverware down low in a drawer that they can actually reach it. And then you're going to empower them to be able to set the table because they can actually reach what they need to get. And so their utensils and things are not up where we as an adult would have it in a cabinet or something else that they can't reach. But if it's a task or something that you want them to be able to reach, it's in a lower cabinet. It's not organized, you know, perfectly and pretty, but it's organized in one place that they can find it. Same thing goes with snacks. We really want to empower, I think, as a mom, our kids to be able to go and reach for something or to pack their lunch or to help with dinner. So the things that you want them to have access to, it might not be the candy or something in a glass jar or a baking thing that you're not going to use very often. Make sure that is in their sight line, they're able to reach it. It's not a whole big production for them to be able to reach it. And it's easy for them to see. So if you want them to be packing, you know, X, Y, and Z, a granola bar, a cheese stick, whatever, make those things accessible and organize those in a way that it's easy to come and reach in and get.
Absolutely. I'm curious to know, I guess, a little bit more about your kitchen and your pantry. We just moved, and I feel like in the pantry, we don't have a huge pantry, I should say. So some of the cabinets I'm using for dry food storage, but I don't know if there's, again, a most efficient way to do this, or really if it just comes back to whatever works best for you is where you should place your item. What does it look like for you?
So I'm a big fan of decanting, and a lot of people will say, oh, but it takes time to decant and all of that. I think it takes 5 seconds to decant. You have the container. I've had my containers for years. They're very sturdy. And then for me, it saves me so much time and everyone else in my family because they can see, okay, that's the sugar. That's the, you know, whatever else, flour, because there's a label on it and I know it. And the expiration dates are underneath or written on the back in Sharpie that could be erased. But it is something that it's, for me in my pantry, out of sight, out of mind. So if I don't see it or someone doesn't see it, it doesn't get used as often. It also helps when I'm making my grocery list. I can see, okay, the bag is, I'm not having to go through the bag or go through the box of granola bars. I can see I have two left. I have a fourth left. Then that goes on my grocery list. And so I'm not wasting a lot of time in that respect. And I'm not wasting money when I get to the grocery store. And I'm like, oh, wait, how many bars do we have? Because if you can't see inside of a box or a bag of food, dry goods, you are not able to then see if you actually need to put it on your list. And so I feel like people always overbuy. Then they get home and they're like, oh, you know what? Actually, I didn't look in the box. We actually have five left. I didn't really need to buy it. So I feel like there's a lot of food waste that goes on in most people's homes because we're overbuying, because we don't actually see what we have, and because there's not a system for sort of this refill. And when you go to the grocery store, what's the system to decant and get it back into the pantry or the fridge?
Okay, so that's a good point. I think that decanting is great. It also looks more aesthetically pleasing. I have a few things that I have decanted in my home. That said, sometimes people will go out and they have the best of intentions to, again, make everything look aesthetically pleasing or be more cohesive, but then they overbuy and they don't actually need that much and they're storing too much. And so what's your advice with that?
You know, I think a lot of people want to have their pantries look like it does on Instagram or in Martha Stewart Living, whatever the place is. But I will tell someone that's not realistic, right? Not everyone has things lined up in jars and the spices are perfectly decanted. It's just not realistic. So do for you what is going to work for your family. If you want something aesthetically pleasing in all the same jars, go out and buy the same jars. But before you do that, measure your space and actually know what you're going to buy for. Because all the time I see people going up and down the line, you know, the aisles of the container store or Target, whatever it is, and just throwing bins in because they think, oh, well, that's what I'm supposed to be using, but not actually knowing what they're supposed to store. Mm-hmm. And you have to first declutter before you go and buy the bins. Because if you skip that step, you are absolutely going to be holding on to things that you don't need, don't use, no longer, you know, are part of your lifestyle. So I see a lot of people missing that step and just going and wanting to buy a pretty bin and put it in. But if you don't declutter, you're just going to be holding on to stuff you actually probably don't need.
Yeah, I think especially for people that are not necessarily, they're not chefs and we're holding on to like all these spices that are just obscure for one recipe. I kind of tend to stay away from those things. Or if I find a certain recipe with several, like with one random ingredient, I'll find several meals to make around that ingredient just to get rid of it. But I think we hold on to these things and then they end up expiring, but we're still holding on to them because we spent money on them. So I think for someone that isn't as into cooking, maybe you consider that when knowing what to declutter or what to buy in the future.
100%. And if you're making like the gingerbread cookie recipe once a year, is there another way so that you don't have to buy the whole thing of what cinnamon? And if you don't use cinnamon, you know, throughout the whole year, it's not worth buying the cinnamon because then it's going to be, like you said, sitting in there, taking up physical space. Then it's taking up emotional space because you're like, oh, I paid X, Y, and Z for that. And then it gets to the next Christmas and it's already expired. So you really have to think about how you are functioning, what you are using, you know, for daily snacks. And okay, your child tried, you know, these chips this month. They hated them. No one's going to eat them. Let go of them. Give them to a friend. Whatever it is, let it go and then just move on. Because again, it's going to be taking up so much more physical space and your emotional space thinking about, oh, you know, my little child didn't love these chips and I paid more for them because I went to Costco. It's time to move on because your mental energy is spent elsewhere or should be spent elsewhere. And the physical space needs to be going towards things you're actually using on an everyday basis.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned Costco. Any suggestions in regards to bulk purchasing, bulk buying?
Look, I don't personally shop at Costco because we don't go through things as much and as quickly as I would think. And so if you are going to go to Costco, it's a mentality of you are going to go to Costco, but you have to look at it and say, how often are we actually going through that item? You know, if it's toilet paper versus strawberries and you're not throwing away the strawberries, okay, great. And you're, you know, having all this toilet paper that you actually go through because there's, you know, five or six people in the house. Look at the items you're actually going and purchasing at Costco, and then look at how quickly you are using those things up. I would hate for people to throw away the huge strawberries because they don't actually, they go bad too quickly because you're buying so many of them and you don't go through them. So if you are going to buy in bulk, really be conscious about, number one, the space that you have, and obviously how quickly you are going through those items.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another thing that I've noticed in regards to Costco, I love Costco. We go probably twice a month. We do have three kids, two little boys, a husband. I like to eat. We go to Costco. It's worth it. However, there are a lot of influencers these days doing Costco hauls, or this is what I found at Costco that's really healthy and it's, you should eat too. And it's like, I don't know. It's kind of like, what do you actually eat? Because then we'll end up spending money on these things and wasting money. Like, just because I buy it doesn't mean that you need to buy it.
Correct, correct. I mean, look, I think that's with any product, right? Mm-hmm. For your kitchen, for your pantry, any appliance, all that. There are influencers that are going to try to sway you to go buy, and it might work for them and their family, but it might not work for you either. And so again, before you're just doing this, I'm going to put it on my list, I'm going to try it because X, Y, and Z told me to, really think about it, because you are spending money no matter what. And then you're going to get home, and if you already bought it and it doesn't fit your lifestyle, you're going to feel shame about buying it and feeling bad about spending money on it. So really be conscious before you're just throwing it inside of your cart. And I think it's harder to do when you have to physically go out to a store and put it in your cart versus all the stuff that people are buying online. Because I mean, I've seen this like shopper that people have been using for their kitchen, and you know, people will just automatically add to cart on Amazon. So again, it's just this need to want to follow and buy. And I'm sure people are, you know, purchasing things. Hopefully that will be helpful, but it's the quick purchase that you then get home and it's not useful. It's either return it or figure out a way to donate it to someone else.
This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. I'm so happy to partner with ByHeart because their goal is to create a future where all parents feel amazing about feeding their baby, no matter how they do it. Their mission is simple: make the best infant formula in the world. Let me tell you a little bit more. ByHeart's patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk by including the two most abundant proteins in breast milk, plus whole and partially broken down proteins for a nutritious blend that's gentle on tummies. ByHeart ran a clinical trial where they compared their formula to a leading infant formula, improved benefits like less spit up, easier digestion, and so much more. ByHeart is leading the ways in a lot of ways. They're the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. It's the only new infant formula brand to add a comparison to breast milk in their clinical trial. And ByHeart is the first infant formula company to receive Clean Label Project's Purity Award. So are you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code minimalist for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you more about mylifeinabook.com. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you choose to ask. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. One of the challenges I face with being a minimalist is wanting to be as intentional as possible about the things that I am buying. I do understand that I live in a world where I can't completely avoid purchases. There are birthdays, there are holidays, there are the celebrations. But if I can be more intentional about gift giving, it's so important to me. I've had the experience to gift one to my mom, and being able to gift that to her seemed more significant than something that wasn't as sentimental to her. So if this sounds like a gift that you'd be interested in giving, check out mylifeinabook.com and use code minimalist at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code minimalist for 10% off today.
Are you ready to take your gardening game to the next level this year? If you're anything like my husband and me, you've been getting your hands dirty in the garden, learning the ropes, and dreaming of a bountiful harvest. Well, let me tell you about Coast of Maine Planting Soil, our secret weapon for a thriving garden. Everything grown in Coast of Maine soil is organic and safe for your family and friends right out of the garden. Their living soils are carefully crafted to enhance soil structure, provide essential nutrients, and promote robust plant growth. With a diverse portfolio of products for all your gardening needs, they're rooted in sustainable practices and a commitment to organic excellence. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. The products are carried by local retail partners who can provide advice and insight not found in big box stores. Coast of Maine knows from beginner to expert, anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere. Their products make organic gardening simple, approachable gardening for everyone. So let's get growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. Coast of Maine, like the state with an E.com.
Well, and I think with decluttering, you and I both speak to this, but if we're talking specifically about, well, really any space, but talking about the kitchen and the pantry, we want to stop the accumulation before it hits our door. And so I will always write a list, even for Costco. And my kids get so upset because they try those samples and they're like, but we want that. And I'm like, no,
right.
If we really want it next time, we sit and think on it, maybe next time. But oftentimes it's just a fleeting yumminess. And it's like, no, we don't need to spend another $10 because that adds up. And then you spend $500.
Yep. And I think you're very conscious of it. I would say a lot of people are not. And it is. And look, I get it. You're walking through Costco and they're giving out pre-samples and your kids are there and you're like, you know, getting pulled on, hey, can't we get this? And you're like, okay, I'll just pacify them and we'll just get that, you know, whatever it is. And then we'll try it. And then you get home and after 2 days, they don't like it. But that does happen. I want people to be, you know, realistic. It happens and it's going to happen, you know, continuously. But the more conscious we are about it, purchasing and before it gets into our home, the better. And I have seen a lot because of just Amazon delivers within, you know, 24 hours, a lot of places. It's like push send. It comes in, you don't use it and it sits in your kitchen where you could have returned it. And then you pass the return window. So just being conscious of the things that we are bringing in, because so much comes in and more than we, most of us can keep up with. And so that's why if there is an initial declutter and then a constant, just this is how we upkeep, this is how we organize our space, then you won't have to go back and do this like 5 hour long, you know, decluttering of your home because you were just setting up and then maintaining it.
I think one of the hardest things for me that I probably still struggle with, even trying to be more minimalist, is just because I like it doesn't mean I have to have it. And I'll sit on things for a little bit longer typically if I really want something. But there's a lot of things I really like and might want, but it doesn't mean I need it or it doesn't mean I need to spend the money on it right now. And I think that is one of the toughest things. And that can be applied to those samples. Wow, that was really good. But do I actually need it right now? Especially if you're trying to stick to a budget, especially a food budget right now, with the cost of food right now.
It's just to say that. I mean, I think food, especially, it's a little, I feel like people have a different take on food versus like dirt or something else. And so food is like, oh, well, it's food. I eat it every day and we need to survive eating food. But the cost of food has gone up, obviously. And food waste is a real thing. I mean, it's, you know, if you think about how much you let go of because things have spoiled or expired and things like that. So again, being conscious of before it's coming in, I think really is going to make a huge difference, and how it's organized in your home, because then you can see how quickly you're going through it. And if people are really liking it and enjoying it, and if it is a staple versus not, and we use it, you know, again, only on holidays, that's all going to make a difference, whether you see it and use it and how it's organized, you know, in your home. But food is hard. Food is hard.
Yeah. I want to talk just more a little bit about specific challenges that you've seen with your client. But actually, as we're recording this, I put on a message to my followers. And I asked if anyone had specific challenges that they were encountering in their own lives. And marvelous Mrs. Melinda said, large lower cabinet, lazy Susans, and how to organize when they're so awkwardly shaped. Those are, my parents had one of those growing up.
I mean, they are everywhere and they are not my favorite. Although I know a lot of kitchen designers put them in because they think it helps with the space, but they're just so awkward to put things on once they're in that sort of half U or that U shape. So it's very hard. And so what I would say for a lazy Susan is, if you can get a bin that maybe fits on the lazy Susan, again, it's not going to be perfect because most bins are like rectangle or square or even a circle, and categorize what goes on there and put things on there that you're not using all the time, because those things are very hard to get into. And so it's annoying to put your arm back there or move the lazy Susan out. So make sure you're putting things on there that are categorized, that you know that go back there. Maybe you're not a huge baker, so then maybe it's your, you know, baking supplies, baking utensils in one, you know, layer of that. But it's stuff that you're not using all the time, if possible, right? That's your only space. That's a different story. But making sure those things are categorized on there, you're not just throwing it back there, because things on a lazy Susan that is very deep usually like go to die in the back there, and people can't see it, and you have to really make an effort to pull it out.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, it's out of sight, out of mind. And if you're doing a bunch of dry or canned goods on there, it's just like, I forgot that I had this squash in a can. and then later. So, okay, cool. Well, is there anything else that you have experienced with your clients that's a really big pain point in the kitchen? I feel like we've hit a few.
Yeah, Tupperware seems to be a big one, whether it's glass or, you know, BPA-free Tupperware. I feel like people always ask me, should I put the lids together? I feel like I take things out of the dishwasher and some of it eats it somehow, or we can't figure it out, because people are using it every day for, you know, school lunches or to take stuff to work. And so I'm a big proponent of making sure that it's nested, because I want people to have as much room as possible. And when you put a top on top of a glass dish or a regular Tupperware, you then lose that space. And so you can't actually nest it inside. So I'm a big proponent of nesting the actual bottoms all together or in a few different piles, and then putting the tops together. And then when you need to put a top on it, grabbing the top. Having a drawer divider, depending on what the drawer looks like where you're storing it, is also a huge plus, because it can actually keep things up. It's like a bookend, basically, and it gives you that structure on either side so that the tops aren't falling over. They make many things that you actually put in your drawer that the tops can go vertically versus horizontally. So I'm a proponent of nesting and not putting the tops onto each thing, but going through your Tupperware and your glass containers and making sure that there's actually a top that matches, because same thing with water bottles. That seems to be a big thing for people.
Yes.
Having 15 million water bottles. Again, how often have you used that water bottle? I know people have to have, you know, my kids do sports, so it's like we go through two water bottles for each of them a day. But making sure, okay, this is how many water bottles we're normally using. We don't need 20 on hand. We put them in the dishwasher, whatever it is. But water bottles need a section and a way to actually function so that your kids can use them and you're not holding on to too many.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, what do you do with the items that you purge? So oftentimes I feel like dishware I'll take to the thrift store, but expired goods, I don't really know. It feels so hard to just send things off into the trash. We have a compost bin now.
That's good. If you can compost it, a lot of these things can't be composted. And so, and they're expired. And so a lot of food banks will not take expired goods. You have to ask, because some will, and some will say, okay, well, if it's past 2 years, we'll still take it. It's in a can, versus something that might be like, I don't know, a chip or a macaroni that's in a thing. So first go to your food bank and see if it's something that you can. And then if it is completely expired and you've sort of outwasted that, I think trash is where it goes, because it's just not safe anymore, you know, according to all these food safety places at that point. But if you can either donate to a food bank, or if that seems too hard, I feel like a lot of people will say, oh, well, I don't want to go there and that's such a trip and whatever, but I don't want it in my house. And then it just kind of ends up sitting in a bag or a box in their house. See if anyone in your neighborhood wants it. Put it on your neighborhood listserv. You might not be using that flour and you don't want to make a trip to, you know, a food bank, but maybe your neighbor needs flour. Just like we put all of our goods on it, there's no reason not to put your, you know, food as well.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I wanted to know, again, specifically for your life, what is one of the biggest benefits you've seen in having a kitchen that is efficient and the systems just work for everyone?
So there's a few. One, I feel like I have definitely saved money and time. So money at the grocery store, because I'm not overbuying. I'm not buying things that we already have or that have expired. And we're going through things a lot quicker, and I can see that. Two, just time. I don't like to waste time putting my grocery list together or what are we eating this way. So the way things are categorized is like by food, you know, or by dinner and breakfast and whatever. So it makes it more efficient when we're thinking about our time, and makes it more efficient when it comes time to mealtime, because we're all busy in our house, work, school, sports, everything like that. So when it comes time for meals, I can actually see what I have, and meal prep is just so much easier for us. And then, you know, having my kids involved in whether it's packing their lunch or getting a snack, that just for me is empowering them to learn how to live when they leave the nest type of thing, and have them contribute to, you know, making the dinner or putting something, a dish on the table.
Absolutely. Well, Rachel, this was so helpful. Where can listeners connect with you if they want more advice from you online?
Great. So they can find me on Instagram at Rachel Organizes, or they can come to my website, which is rachelrosenthal.co. I send out a newsletter with tips and tricks. I actually think there's a kitchen organization thing that you first get. So make sure to sign up for my newsletter there. And those are the two places. So Instagram and my website.
Okay. Well, I usually ask every guest two questions, but instead of doing that, I just want to do kind of a rapid fire question round with you. So I'm curious to know, what is your favorite gadget in the kitchen? I know I try to tell people not to get these things, but do you have one that you actually use and love?
My favorite gadget. Oh, that's a hard one. I'm not a huge cook. I use a chopper. That is one of my favorite things, because I make a lot of salad. So I will use a chopper, and it actually like can chop, and so I don't have to cut. So that's a good thing that I use all the time. I would say that's probably my number one tool right now overall.
What is the worst one that you've seen in clients' homes that you're just like, why has this even been created?
I mean, we've seen things like, I don't know, it was like an olive pit, you know, took out the olive pit, which I was like, that seems like a waste of time. Or they have, which I'm sure is helpful for some people, but like a pineapple core thing. And like, how many full pineapples are you actually eating? So you see things like that. You know, I'm not a cook, so I don't even know what half of these things are. There's a lot of like egg, you know, you put your eggs on things, and I'm sure to some people that's very helpful, but
like an egg stringer,
which I'm sure that is actually maybe helpful for people. So just a lot of gadgets that are like one use, one, and they are not used that often. So that to me, I find that is a lot of clutter for people in their main drawers, and they don't hardly use those things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Where do you go to shop for your kitchen, like appliance wise?
Yeah, I think, and we shop for clients' kitchens too. So this is relevant. So Crate and Barrel is a great place that we've gone. I feel like that one is really the main one, the mainstay that we've been doing right now. And then for like dishes and china and things like that, which is not necessarily appliances, we've been going to like Bloomingdale's for china and things like that. But Crate and Barrel seems to have they seem to have a variety of brands, and they're expanding their brands. And Williams-Sonoma also obviously has a ton of brands too that we've been going to there, and dishes and things like that.
Are you of the mindset that quality over quantity is better in the kitchen when it comes to dishware?
I am. And especially for dishware, you're using it so often, but you have to be conscious of, like, for years in my house, we use a melamine, a non-BPA-free plastic. It looked nicer than a regular plastic and was not toxic. But I use that for my kids because I was like, you know what? There's so much wear and tear with our dishes. And so we used, you know, a cream melamine plate that wasn't breakable. And it was an outdoor plate for indoor for them. So we used two different sets of dishes just because there was so much wear and tear. And I wanted them to get used to putting things in the dishwasher, pulling things out of, you know, a cabinet when they could reach. And I didn't want them, you know, working with like a regular glass dish.
We ended up moving from plastic to just stainless steel plates. Maybe that's not good. I don't actually know.
Sure.
Just like, you can't break them. They do get hot. So if you throw spaghetti on it, they will get hot on the bottom. So usually I just serve the plate at the table. But that seems to be much more durable. We have stainless steel cups that are really great. So that's a great idea. I like the look of them, honestly.
I use a stainless steel mug every morning for my matcha.
Yeah. What do you think about rugs in the kitchen?
So I have tried it personally, and I had a runner in my kitchen, and then I took it away because there's too much stuff that falls, and it just wasn't working for me personally. I love the aesthetic of them. I think they're beautiful, and I've seen them all around, and interior designers that we work with put them inside. For me personally, I was like vacuuming and picking up the runner, and it was becoming an annoyance. We still have it. I moved it to our mudroom, but it just became too much with our dog and the kids, you know, dropping crumbs and me dropping crumbs and cooking. And we cook every day, not a good cook, but we cook every day. So it just became too much of a hindrance for us personally in our life. But I love, love the look of them. And so I'm jealous of those people who can actually function with the rug in their kitchen.
Yeah. We just bought a cheapo one from Costco because our floors are so old and we don't have a long-term solution right now because our house is from 1840, but this was an addition. So those aren't as old. We were thinking maybe 50s or 60s, but this is such a high traffic area. We need a quick solution and we'll figure it out. But you're right. It does look better, but it is.
But it's for you. It's functional because you need it to cover the floors and all of that. So for us, I don't necessarily need a rug to cover my floors, but in that case, I mean, I would absolutely, you know, have a rug if it's cold or, you know, there's other reasons. Just for us personally, we don't necessarily need it. For us, it would be more of an aesthetic look over the floor. Mm-hmm. And then I don't like vacuuming and picking it up all the time.
It's gone. My last question for you, and then I'll let you go, is what is your opinion on open storage or open shelving, however you say that.
Very big trend right now that we are seeing a lot of new homes. And I will say, if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, don't just try to go with the trend, because a lot of people say, oh, shouldn't I have open shelving? I see all these things. The open shelving I normally see is when people have all the same color dishes, all looking pretty. And that is more for a visual. And a lot of people can't keep up that aesthetic on a daily basis when they're like taking plates in and out and whatever. If you want open shelving, that's great. I think that would be perfect for decor, like vases or art or glasses, wine glasses you might not use on an everyday basis. But for the average person, having open shelving, they don't want to see their dishes not be perfectly lined up or their glasses not perfectly lined up. So it just really depends on the person and how their family and life is functioning on a daily basis. I think it looks beautiful. And if it works for you, great. But I wouldn't beat yourself up if you're like, I just want to have a closed cabinet and just like throw, not that we're throwing the dishes in there, but it looks a little bit different behind closed doors than it does on a, you know, perfectly styled open shelving concept.
Yes, absolutely. I do love it. We don't have it completely open here in this new house, but there are glass windows into the cabinets, and it definitely causes more stress than I would have assumed.
Just okay.
It looked nice. So there it is. Trial and error over here.
Yes. Yes. It looks beautiful. I feel like I could keep it up now, but I know a lot of my clients wouldn't be able to. They're kind of in the thick of things. And if it is organized and you are decluttered and you don't, and you have, you know, a set that looks the same, like a lot of people don't have full sets of things or free from X, Y, and Z. And they're like, I don't want to look at that. I'm like, well, then you need to put it somewhere else. Another big trend that I keep seeing is a larger drawer and pegs inside the drawer. So it's a pegboard system inside the drawers that people are storing dishes and mugs, and they're having coffee, you know, stations.
Okay.
And that's great. That's an alternative. If you do have open shelving and you need to store your dishes somewhere, everyday dishes, and you don't want them out, a pegboard inside of a bigger drawer is a great alternative.
Oh, I just thought of one more question. Blenders on counters, toasters on counters, bread maker on counter. What do we have on counters? What do you think?
Completely personal. I know that's a bad, but some people are like, I want to see nothing on the counters. Get it away. Some people, I will say, well, what do you use every day? Is it a pain to bring it out of the drawer? Maybe not the bread maker because you're not using bread, but if you're having a smoothie every morning and you're toasting toast, you're having coffee, put those things on the counter, because it's going to depend on if you're shifting and pulling things out. That's a pain to me. I would not want to do that every day. Another trend that we're seeing with appliances are things called appliance garages. I don't know if you've seen those, but it's basically like a cabinet, and that's where all of your appliances go. So some of them have a pullout, you know, tray that you can put your blender and your coffee maker on. Some of it is just shelving behind doors, and all your appliances go there. I think it's a great concept if you are, you know, building a house or renovating a house, because then everything is behind that appliance garage and it becomes more functional, like a coffee station or something there. But it's truly a personal preference. I personally would not want to have, you know, something that I used every day in a drawer and I'm pulling it in and out. But visually, it wouldn't mind me to have a few things out. Like, we have a toaster out, and I'm trying to think. Oh, and I have a hot water machine because I drink tea all the time and matcha every morning. So those are things that are, if I had to bring that in and out and it got wet, and I would be annoyed.
Yeah, we have an espresso machine that I just like the look of it. So that's out. And then we also have a hot water tea container. The thing that's an eyesore, we have a Berkey. It's like one of those big water filters. Wow. And I haven't found the right place for that. But I'm like, this obviously needs to be out. So that's my next goal.
I mean, it depends on your kitchen and counter space, right?
Yeah.
What you're looking at, and is it visual to you or someone else that comes in? And then what your cabinet space is. Because, and some people don't have enough space in their actual kitchen for a huge, you know, blender or a mixer, but they only use the mixer once or twice a year. So I'll say to them, okay, well, do you have a basement storage that's like accessible that you can go down and put it there, but bring it up and that doesn't bother you, versus, you know, taking up the space in your kitchen and you only use it twice a year. So
yeah,
it's really dependent on the individual, their storage needs, and like what they want to actually be looking at. So one answer for everybody, but
no, so helpful. Sorry, that wasn't as rapid fire as I wanted it to be, but I think you got a lot of help there at the end. Well, thank you for joining me about how to declutter the kitchen and pantry, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
What did you think of the episode? I hope you enjoyed the conversation. To learn more about today's guest, including links, resources related to everything discussed today, visit the episode page at minimalistmomspodcast.com, where you can find the entire podcast archive, as well as my book, Minimalist Moms, Living and Parenting with Simplicity, or other ways to connect or work with me online. If you'd like to support the podcast, the easiest and most impactful thing you can do is subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave a rating or review of your favorite episode. Lastly, sharing the show or your favorite episode with friends on social media is very helpful and will encourage others on their journey to think more and do with less.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for festival style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. Tecovas is a terrific boot brand, and they're bringing a fresh perspective to heritage boot making. They've carried forward all the time-honored traditions and quality that you find in a great pair of cowboy boots, but they've innovated on comfort, style, and service. I've said this before, but as someone who tries to pursue a minimalist lifestyle, I highly value quality over quantity, especially when it comes to my clothes and my shoes. And I'm telling you, you can't find a higher quality boot than Tecovas. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.